Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to Engineering Advice You Didn't Ask For. Today, we have a bunch of awesome folks here and we will do a roundtable and introduce ourselves.
Hey, I'm Mithra. I'm a senior engineering manager currently at Glossier. Started off as a software engineer at Amazon, became a manager pretty quickly in my career and have worked at startups, growth stage companies, and of course at Amazon. And in the middle, I also did my own direct-to-consumer startup.
I'm Vic. I am a staff engineer at Eventbrite. Before this, I was previously an engineer who was an engineering manager, engineering director, and then I went back to the IC track. I also run a couple little software as a service products on the side. That's me.
Hello, everyone. I'm Louis. I recently quit big tech to try and start my own thing. Prior to that, I actually managed multiple engineering teams at Walmart. And before that, I was at a startup called Jet that actually got acquired by Walmart. So I saw that startup journey from 20 employees up to 3,500 or so.
So my name is Thiago. As Louis said, I also recently left big tech, but I'm returning to it at some point. But so before I quit, I was working at Apple as a senior engineering manager. And before that, I worked as a director at American Express and also work at ThoughtWorks in the past, but I have worked as IC for most of my career in the last 5 years as manager slash director.
My name is Keyur Hindocha. I did the software testing, software developer route. I was at BlackBerry for 10 years. I was the co-founder of a startup called Flyta, where we were trying to bring down the price of high price of international shipping. And for the past 4.5 years or so, I've been an engineering manager. I'm currently with healthcare startup, playing the same role as an engineering manager. So the topic for today is the perfect one-on-one. So what are these one-on-ones? I hear that you should have these meetings 2 times a year, one around mid-year, one at end of year. I don't know if those rumors are true. So let's flip this over to our panelists and see what their thoughts are.
One-on-ones, it depends on who it's between and the nature of that. One-on-ones as a manager with your direct reports is important to do or at least have time for weekly. And if your IC doesn't want to have them weekly, it's up to them, but it's a time for them to really be able to chat with you, talk more about their career and things outside of the direct sprint work that they're doing. I have a similar cadence with my manager. So I always think as a manager, you want to have that availability for whoever your reports are. When it comes to partners, I also have weekly one-on-ones with my product partners. So I think it depends on, especially from a manager, when you're working with so many different types of people, the cadence depends. But maybe to my skip manager, once every other week or once monthly is a good enough cadence. But it depends on the size of the team. Vic, what do you think?
I'm actually in a very similar boat to you. I have weekly one-on-ones with my manager, and they have a perfect agenda that we plan out for the week about exactly what we're talking about. And then I have a one-on-one with my mentee every 2 weeks with the rest of my team. My peers, it's basically, we have weekly meetings as well. And they're often just shooting the shit. We don't have an agenda. We talk about what are you currently working on? We want to make sure that there's something that we can help each other with that is outside of what we talk about at standups. And then with my skip level, it's probably every 3 months or so, like an actual meeting with an agenda. He's available to me on Slack all the time. And we talk about plumbing and house stuff and kids all the time. So it's not even like I never talk to this person otherwise. And then his manager, I've spoken to probably once in the last 8-9 months. But once again, the same thing about accessibility, his doors are open, as you would say. We just don't have that much to talk about because what am I going to talk to my skip about?
The main, I would say, goal of one-on-one, at least in my opinion, initially is to build trust, is to find out what is that person up to and to also connect in some way. But I agree with the cadence that you folks said, weekly with direct reports, and I would say maybe once a month with folks that are your skip levels. But I know depending on how many skip levels you have, hundreds is almost impossible to do monthly. The main thing about one-on-ones is to find how everybody's doing and to also create that report, that trust that only happens over time by listening deeply and by sharing also. A lot of times as a manager, at the beginning, when in your first set of one-on-ones, folks are really resistant to that. Folks are really skeptical about that, right? Oh, it's a waste of time. But I think over time, if you learn to make it an environment where things can be light and can be enjoyable, it becomes one of the most powerful blocks of time you have on your day, on your week.
At the risk of blowing this whole thing up, I think just talking twice a year to somebody, maybe if it's like the CEO of the company, you talk twice a year to somebody. But if it's your manager, it's got to be definitely at the cadence that you all mentioned, weekly or biweekly, definitely not twice a year. And I think that's bad. I want to talk a little bit about what I think the perfect one-on-one is. And then I want to talk a little bit about, so I'll talk a little bit about the setting and then also what I think should be discussed. So for me, I think the perfect setting for a one-on-one is on a walk, grabbing coffee. And in fact, when I was working in person, that is exactly how we did one-on-ones with everybody on my team. And I bought 4 or 5 coffees a day for people on my team because we were constantly going for a walk and getting a coffee on that. In that walking conversation, a lot of things could be talked about. I don't think a one-on-one should be, let's sit down, let's bring our notebooks and let's do all this. Maybe you do that like once or twice a year, but I think generally speaking, it needs to be just a natural human bonding experience. And I know that might sound a little crazy, but I think that's a really important thing because that's your chance to connect with your manager or your report if you're a manager on a different level. It's just the two of you. And I think that, like you said, Tiago, I think it builds trust. Probably about 5 to 15 minutes of that conversation could be spent on updates, what's been going on, but it should be spent on hard stuff. Talk about all the stuff that's going wrong. Don't be afraid to bring that up. Whether you're the manager or the report, you have to bring that up in that setting. And then I think you don't want to complain too much, though. So you don't want to spend more than like 15 minutes on that. 15 minutes on the high end, like 5 minutes would be good. Hey, things are going terrible. I need more, help. I need more headcount. Okay, now let's talk about our lives. And that might sound crazy, but I think that's a really important thing because, again, keep in mind the reason for the one-on-one is just to build this human kind of bonding experience. And I think, that goes so far. And then one other thing that I would say that needs to be injected in the one-on-one is this constant like nagging reminder of what you want from the other person. And you could spend like a minute on that. But every single time you touch base, you should bring it up. And I think that basically is like, I want to be promoted or I need more headcount. And you always kind of like allude to it in some way. And it's just keep it top of mind in the other person. And similarly, if you have a report and you need them to be doing something, you just throw it in there, but you don't spend too much time on it. Most of the time is spent shooting the shit, just like Vic said. And I think that leads to these really amazing experiences. And if there's one reason to go into an office, it's just for the one-on-one. Like I would literally, even during the pandemic, I would only go in just for the one-on-one.
One perspective I wanted to add as someone who is female, but also younger. I became a manager first when I was like 23 years old. So I was young and everyone who reported to me was obviously older, obviously more experienced than I was as engineers even. And I don't think I had the luxury of the walk and talk chats and shooting the shit at the start. So it's my ideal one-on-one as well, but it takes time. I think Tiago mentioned like building that trust and like talking about maybe not your personal life, but like finding things in common beyond work really helps to build the trust. Some people aren't as open to sharing things about themselves, even just talking about weekends. I know some people hate it, but I've always tried to lead with the things that make my personality outside of work to see if there is any connection. And whether that leads to like really strong friendships or not, it always leads to some level of like comfort and trust that they are willing to open up to me and talk to me and see me as someone who is on their side and not this out of reach person. And this is, again, if you're not necessarily going in as a totally respected or known leader, which I think ideally all or most managers are, but sometimes you can find yourself in that position.
I just want to add 2 things there. One is 100% agree with you, Mitra, that at the beginning is hard to propose things that are out of the standard. So if you're a new manager or someone that's new, I tend to ask the person, okay, one-on-one, we can go for coffee, we can book a meeting room. If you're working remote, we can do over Zoom, but try to go with whatever the person prefer first. And then over time, once you understand that person more, you adapt. My preference would be, as Louis said, just go for a walk, get out of the office because we spend way too much time in front of screens. But that's not possible all the time, or that takes time for you to get there. And sometimes you have a meeting right after, sometimes you already had way too much coffee for the day. But I agree, it's perfect if you can get out of the environment and break that flow of the normal office. And the last thing I would say is, as a manager, I used to start all my one-on-ones with the following question was like, hey, Mitra, or hey, Louis, how are things? That was like an open-ended question. And that was like, okay, let's start whatever you want to talk. And then after that, if you had a topic, we would jump into that and we could spend the whole one-on-one on that. If you didn't have that, I would share things. I would start asking for more.
Just something to point out, and maybe not a very common scenario nowadays. Do any of you have advice for new managers who have started after the start of the pandemic, who don't have the liberty to walk around the building with the coffee? I am guilty of the same thing. I love doing the walk and talk, even if it's just around the building. It's just such a great setting because you have their undivided attention. There's no screens, no phones, no meetings, nobody to tap on your shoulder. This is your time with your direct report. Having started a new job in a pandemic myself, I know how much harder it can be to build that rapport with your team. You don't have the lunches together. You don't have the coffee. You don't have the chit chat before a meeting or after a meeting, not just one-on-one, any meeting. So to Thiago's point, till you build to that point where you're comfortable walking out, or if you have an introverted employee who is not willing to open up, what sort of recommendations or advice do you have for new managers who are starting out?
I started two jobs now in the pandemic as a new manager. So and working with remote folks, contractors, folks who had been there for a long time. The first few weeks of one-on-ones, I always treat as like just getting to know you. It's a combo of getting to know you as a person, but also what do you do at the company? And you need to learn a lot more about that person's then like career goals and their likes and dislikes and the people that they work with best and the things they hate doing. And there's just a lot to learn about someone. There's definitely like a standard set of questions, but it's almost like you keep having small talk till you find something they're excited about. So for some people, it's their kids. And I don't have kids yet, but I love talking about them. So let's go on that. For some people, it's TV. That's me. So let's figure that out. For some people, it's like making bread and like growing plants. I know nothing about that, but I'll talk to you and figure it out as much as possible. And I think that always trying to find like what excites them or what they like to do outside of work is the first thing I try to do. And then really dig into their work preferences. And that also opens them up as well.
I have worked with a lot of engineers that they were super skeptical about the idea of one-on-ones. It's like, one-on-ones, waste of time, but skip that. And I feel that it helps a lot. If you're, no, we're just going to grab coffee and talk about things and just time for us to chat. That is not a lot of like preparation. I feel a lot of folks are scary about, oh, we need to have a document with the topic. And they're really already like building up that resistance against one-on-ones. But if you're able to like slow down and say, no, let's just do this to talk or to go out and grab coffee, it definitely helps a lot. But I think your goal as a manager, as Mitra says, is finding things that interest them and ideally some common interests and sometimes even talk about work things. I had one-on-ones where I would spend maybe 25 minutes talking about random topics. And at the end, we'd say, okay, about this project, what's happening here. And you would wrap up in 5 minutes. But 25 minutes was about the good stuff for them because that was like, your goal is to keep that consistency. So that's the only thing I want to do. Try to find something that will break that resistance at first and then make them enjoy the experience. Don't make that a really like hard time or really, that's why I'm really against the idea of, especially at the beginning, start sharing negative feedback in one-on-one. I did that when I started as a manager and it was bad.
I started my most recent job in May last year, smack in the middle of the pandemic. I've actually never met my manager in person, or for that matter, any of my coworkers. I feel like I have a really good relationship with my team and my manager, so I can share what has happened to get me there. So we actually use this tool at work called CultureAmp. And it kind of shoots me an email the day before my one-on-one that basically says, here's a quick survey for you. And it's five different Likert scales that just ask how I feel about work, what my well-being is, how I'm growing, my work relationships and impact and productivity. And what's cool is I just logged in right now and I can see basically all the way down to when I started. And so I fill that in. It gives my manager a very good idea looking at that, whether there's something that is of concern that he needs to start asking me right away, or we can just start talking about, I don't know, the dogs or the kids or TV or whatever. So it's that immediate litmus check for him to say what Thiago said, right? Like, how is it going? So you can either ask that or jump right into it. And looking at my own responses, and I don't remember any of these, of course, I have to read them. There's all these kind of question prompts here around what went well since the last time we spoke, you know, what roadblocks are you having? They're basically like a weekly stand-up, right? The idea though is that maybe these are things that only your manager can help clear up for you, and you're not comfortable either sharing them in stand-up or any of other reasons.
Just to jump in just a little bit on tag onto what Vic said, I used to make a couple of bullet points before I spoke to my managers, just like 2-3 things that like I'd want to forget to talk about, and I would actually just do it on my Apple Notes. And so this is like, if anything happens in that meeting, like these, at least these 3 things have to come up once somewhere in there. And so I thought that was really helpful. One thing that I did, I was working in big tech during the pandemic, which is, I was in a lot of synchronous meetings as well, because Walmart's a big place. We had a lot of engineers, and so there was a lot of one-on-ones. But what I did that was really, I felt pretty successful for me, was this idea of batching them. So even if you're not a manager, you could still do this. Like you could still schedule your manager one-on-one, your one-on-one with your product partner, your one-on-one with somebody on another team back to back, and just go for an hour and a half walk and literally just dial in the Zoom while you're on a walk. And I used to do that like all the time. It would elicit very similar emotions and very similar conversation to us going on a walk for a coffee. But when you're going for a walk, you got to pre-jot your bullets. So you got to have at least 3 or 4 bullets jotted down. Otherwise, you might forget, because you're going to get a lot of other really good ideas in the walk.
I'm similar to Louis. I have one note for each person that I'm doing a one-on-one with. And then even if it's during the middle of the week or middle of a meeting, if I remember that it's something that we need to talk about, then I just jot it there. And then that way I have it ready for when it's time for my one-on-one. And usually it's prioritized as well, because if we get chatting or if one topic takes too long and we don't get to it, then I just move it to the one above, and then we have it ready for the next time we are chatting. I think that helps out a lot, just so we don't forget any important topics. One of the other things I wanted to bring up was career development. Should career development be an ongoing conversation in your one-on-ones? Should you have a separate meeting for a career development conversation? And in what cadence? How do you guys traverse these waters?
This was not a thing at my previous job. And so it's a particular stark like development for me to see how we handle it here at my team anyway. So we don't talk about career during our one-on-ones at all. We specifically have a separate career meeting once a month that has a lot more structure, where we're going over kind of your career ladder and what specific goals that we're trying to hit and what you want to talk about there. And that meeting, I come to it with a completely different frame of mind. I walk into that and I'm not thinking about asking about TV questions. That's not my rapport building meeting. That's my, I'm here to drive toward a particular goal. And I've never been in a meeting like that. It's always been sandwiched in the last 3 minutes. So, you know, when I think it was Louis or Thiago that talked about, you're there to get the one thing that you want. And previously it was like, I have a minute, I have to ask that question, and you're trying to cut everything short. And instead, I really like this idea of this whole separate meeting where you come in and that's the entire purpose. And those ones for us are, I want to say, an hour long as opposed to my half hour long.
That's interesting. I have seen that in a few places, like career development being a separate one-on-one meeting. I think regardless of the structure, the way I would approach it, or I do approach it as a manager, is almost immediately after someone's 90 days, or if they have been there for a while and I'm the new one, it's one of the first conversations where I try and figure out what their immediate career goals are. Some people are very clear that I want to go from an IC to a manager, or I want to become a lead, or I want to get promoted. Some people aren't very clear yet and say, I like where I am right now, and I'm like doing this, or I don't like doing this. So in the former case, if they are very clear, next step is a gap analysis. Take a look at the career ladder. In my last two companies, because they were startups, we actually didn't even have a career ladder. So that's something I participated in creating. And that's pretty an interesting exercise to go through and do a really clear gap analysis on each section for their current level and the next level. And then that's how I structure the half yearly goals. So the personal goals for each person. So we pick 2 or 3 areas of opportunity and create SMART goals similar to how we would create OKRs for a team. And that's something we both then are looking at constantly every one-on-one to make sure they're working on the right projects, getting the right opportunities, getting the right feedback from me to make sure that they're able to hit those goals. I think if it's the latter where they're not sure what they want to do next, then we take some more time to do some probing and figure out what they enjoy and don't enjoy and give them opportunities here and there to maybe experience something that they think they might like. As an engineer going to a manager, my manager gave me, like, started me off as the scrum master leading like team meetings, and then slowly started getting me to write the weekly updates. And this was his way to get me comfortable with what the role would require. So I think that kind of helped me make that decision.
So that's fantastic that you're able to do that in one-on-one. I tried, and I remember hearing the Manager Tools podcast 100 times. And okay, 10 times at the end for career development. And I was never able to do that. And I think as Vic was saying, I think the structure that worked for me, that like out of all places that I work, was the quarterly career conversation. It was not even monthly. I think monthly would be fantastic. But like every quarter, we would have a conversation with direct manager and skip level manager of the person. And the person would bring in and present what they're looking for, like their goals. And of course, the manager would have a preview of that meeting. But that's where the career conversation would happen. And that's where the manager would collect 360 feedback, where we would talk about development opportunities. And that was like the best structure that I found. Like one-on-ones, we don't talk about career. Of course, there are always the engineers that want to remind you that they want to be promoted every single one-on-one. But for most folks, that format actually works best because you remove that tension out of the one-on-one and make the one-on-one being kind of like easy, good. And if, of course, they want to bring career development things, we can talk about it. But it's not in the agenda by default. But I'm actually a big fan of what you're doing, Mitra. That seems fantastic. If you're able to use the 30 minutes and do all that, is like the best that you can hope for. It's not additional meeting. It's like really efficient.
I agree. I'm personally guilty of that. I am unable to squeeze in career development conversation into all of my one-on-ones. So we do have separate meetings where we go over the OKRs for the team. We go over the individual development objectives, what goals we want to work on. And then we have regular cadence where we review it together in a meeting and then make sure they're smart, and then that we track those through the year. But it's good to see that we've had different approaches here, and some have for each of us. So that's good to see. What is your recommendation if the individual isn't engaging or contributing in these one-on-ones? So I think Thiago started with, he starts every meeting with, how's it going? And what if you get a monosyllable answer? Good. And that's essentially every one-on-one week after week. How do you break the ice? How do you make it fruitful for both the employee and for you as a manager to take this forward?
The manager has some responsibilities in the one-on-one, and also the report, the direct report has responsibilities as well. And if somebody's showing up to a one-on-one and never bringing up their career goals, that's like a big red flag that they're not engaged, that they don't have much aspirations. And I would point that out. I would label it just flat out. I call me the awkward dude that's just going to call it out right here and say, hey, you've never told me what you want to be when you grow up. You never said, you know, what you'd like to do in a year or 2 years. And I'd love for you to tell me that, because how can I help you if you don't tell me that? So it's the person's responsibility to a certain degree to bring that up. Now, I do think that the manager has responsibilities. Like we already talked about some of it, like to open them up and to make them feel comfortable and to make sure that the setting and all these things are like done well. But individual has to bring that stuff up, have those conversations. And for me, I had no problem just giving them feedback regularly about what they were doing. And I didn't harp on it for too long, but it was just very clear. Okay, this is what's going, this is what's going wrong. And then when we used to get to mid-years or end of year conversations where basically their promos on the line or their end of year rating that impacts their bonuses on the line, I used to tell people like, you should come to this meeting with no surprises. Like we've been talking every 2 weeks. Why would you have any surprises? And I would say that like in our regular engineering wide meeting and say, hey, we should never go to the annual review and you don't know how you're doing and things like that. That's like your responsibility. You have to ask. And you also have to basically speak up that you want something. But at the same time, as a manager, then you have a responsibility to call that out. You have a responsibility to show them the career ladder, all of these other things that we touched on. You have a responsibility to show them the path. And sometimes when the one-on-ones were very light, I would say, okay, let's talk about the different options that are available to you. And let's just see where I see you going right now. Is that default path good for you? As a manager, you could gently nudge that stuff, but really as an individual going into that, you have to press for that. That's just my instincts tell me that, but I would encourage my people to do that. And I would encourage them to do it even with my managers. If they were going to have a meeting with my managers, I would encourage them to do that.
I fully agree with you, Louis. Mid-year and year-end conversation should not be a surprise. And over time, you should be sharing feedback, especially if things are not going well. I think it's your duty as a manager to, if things are not going well, to share that. And if there are expectations for promotion, you share that. You keep reminders. But I think the question that was asked before, like about, okay, what do you do if you ask, okay, how's going or how are things? And the answer is fine. Okay. The thing that I would try to do, as a manager, was trying to find other questions like, oh, I see that you posted on Slack about this conference. Oh, are you thinking about this? What do you like about this? Trying to find, oh, do you know why we're doing this project? Or even get to some, I saw the PR you opened last week was really nice. Oh, how did you do that? Try to find some subject that would get some engagement. And sometimes, and that's totally fine, you're not going to be able to do that. And in that case, I would say it's always fine to end the one-on-one there. The most important thing is, like, even if you connect for 5 minutes, and that's fine. We were at least connecting. You had the chance to speak up. I try to get more thoughts and more ideas from you, but there was not much to talk about. That's totally fine. We're going to meet again next week. But if that happens consistently, then speak up and say, hey, I don't know what's happening. Is everything all right? Try to... not shame, by the way, but try to understand, okay, what's happening? You don't like this format. You would like me to bring other topics to talk about. Should we have more career conversations? There is always things to talk about. All my one-on-ones, I always run out of time, like 99% of them. So it's like, if someone is able to end in 5 minutes, something is odd.
That's valuable. So I just want to do a quick roundtable, and I'm going to ask that you share from your experience, from your one-on-ones, what may be your top pitfall or some of the common pitfalls to avoid going into your one-on-one. Vic, do you want to start?
So in my case, I always need to write down what exactly my agenda is going to be, because I'm someone that frequently and often goes off the rails. And my manager similarly loves to chat. And if neither of us has written down what our agenda is going to be, we will wait until there's 1 minute left and we'll both remember exactly the one thing that we needed from each other. And then it's, I'll just Slack it to you. Well, true. In theory, you could have done that anyway, but there's a reason that we had this one-on-one, right? So we both have come to realize that if this is something that has to just get right into it, say, I want to talk to you about this first before I forget, and then get that out of the way. And then you can go to talking about the dog, or most recently, we've been comparing each other's big Lego builds. So it's totally possible to do that for a half hour.
So for me, I would say there's basically two things that are like very common pitfalls going into the one-on-one and just complaining, basically. If you go in there and you just show up with problems every single time, I promise your manager or whoever, even if you're the manager, you're always complaining, which happens. That is not, you got to go into that thing with solutions. You guess complain, you might be feeling real pain, and let them know that. It's the time to let them know that. But you got to also have the solution in hand. And you got to say, and by the way, if you just do this, or if you just let me push back and you don't do something behind my back, we will solve this. And so you got to have those conversations. You got to go in there with the complaint, and you got to say what exactly how it's going to get fixed. And so I think a common pitfall, just spending a lot of time harping on that. And then the next pitfall that I've seen a lot, and this is basically people show up without any number. So one thing is, I know, like, we're engineers and we love our code and we love our systems and everything we're building, but we've got to also know a little bit of the numbers for the business. And the reason why is because the business value that you're adding as an engineer is the reason you're going to be promoted. That's the impact you've made on your team, on the company, on the whole thing. And so coming in with those things and knowing them and saying, hey, I built this feature, by the way, and you know what? It increased the GMV by $1 million. And your manager's going to be like, well, that's awesome. So they're going to tell their manager. And that's how you're going to actually get promoted eventually. So I think that's a really, and what I saw a lot is people released a lot of stuff. They did a lot of things. And then I would ask, so what did that do? And they would know the uptime, oh, it's been up, but yeah, but maybe no one's using it. So what did it do in terms of the business? Talk to me from that perspective. So I think those are the two.
I would like to add another two. I think one is I had a VP that I would do monthly one-on-ones with that would be taking notes on the computer and looking to the site. And the one-on-one was like, there was a running list of things on my notes. And he would be typing the whole one-on-one and kind of, and every one-on-one, he would go back to the previous note. Oh, we left here. And this, he was good, super organized, but he felt a little bit too rigid. So I never felt that was a good way, like taking notes on the fly. And even when we were doing in person, if you're taking notes on the computer over Zoom, I think that's a different experience. And the second thing, if you use the one-on-one only to complain about someone and not to appreciate things, as you were saying, like, okay, knowing the metrics is amazing and knowing who is doing great things, who helped you in the last week, who you learned something from last week, as a manager, it's fantastic. When I have someone saying, oh, I paired with that engineer and we fixed this issue, is an amazing feeling. And get folks to share not only the bad things, but also the good things. And great work that folks on the team are doing, because that helps a lot you as a manager to know what's happened, right? And to know who is doing good.
The thing that bothers me as the direct report and is tough for me as a manager is the follow-up from one-on-ones. Things can come out of one-on-ones like action items, or you'll say, yeah, I'll check with them on that and get back to you. And it's living in this doc, so it can be hard to remember. That's something that's like a pitfall, but I'm a strong proponent of agendas for one-on-ones. I think like having a agenda doc that is used by both parties equally well and is then becomes resilient and reliant for that meeting, it becomes common for you to refer back to that and continue adding topics for that to that, which means you will catch and remember those follow-up action items. But I just have to add plus 1,000 to Louis and Tiago saying, if you come in and just complain, I know as a manager that drains me the most, because I get it. I get that you're frustrated. What do you want to do about it? And I think that's what really separates a good engineer or a good direct report from a great one and gets you to that next level.
Thank you for sharing. I think one pet peeve of mine during one-on-ones is if my manager is constantly checking his phone or looking at his email or seems visibly distracted during my one-on-one, it bothers me a lot. I know I have half an hour once a week or half an hour once every 2 weeks. I expect the attention, undivided attention from them. And obviously I do the same for my reports. Obviously, like Tiago mentioned, on Zoom, it's different. If I'm looking at my monitor and typing, it's usually because I'm taking notes in OneNote for action items for me or stuff I need to follow up on. But I really get annoyed if somebody's constantly checking their email, or especially if it's their boss and they're like, oh, I just need to respond to this because it's my boss. Okay, but this is my one-on-one. Just something to keep in mind. Okay, I know those were a lot of hard questions and a lot of good feedback. Let's end on a positive note. What's your most memorable one-on-one you've had ever, or one that comes to mind that was most enjoyable, where you walked away saying, wow, that was good, that was fun, we should do more like these?
I think back to my first, I'm sure all of us remember our first manager, our first team very fondly. I think back to my first manager because he put a lot of interest and support for me as a person. It wasn't a particular one-on-one, but from the beginning, I think my first week, I told him, I think I want to be a manager one day. And he took that very seriously. I was a college grad, but he said, okay, you want to do this, then I'm going to teach you all the, you know, things that you need to know, and was very deliberate about it. He also asked me, what do you like to do outside of work? I told him I love dancing. I'm looking for some new classes. He connected me to another coworker who was in some dance classes and just really took an interest in supporting me as someone who is new to the company, new to working, new to the city. I think back very fondly on him. Felix, if you listen to this, Nissi, you're great. And I also currently have a great direct report who I just truly look forward to one-on-ones, and because she brings amazing questions that are very particular maybe to the work she's doing, but also broader about the company and the strategy and vision. And it's a very like productive, but still like conversational fun meeting always. That's probably some of the best people I feel like I've worked with directly.
So I think this was when I started at BlackBerry. My direct manager's name was Mike. And I remember in our first one-on-one, he made me have a prairie fire shot. For those of you who don't know, that's tequila and Tabasco sauce. And you can put as much Tabasco sauce as you want to make it as spicy as you want. As disgusting as that drink was, it was a really good initiation ceremony that I remembered. Obviously, we shared as a team and laughed at how bad it was. But thank you, Mike. I will never forget that.
I don't know. I can follow that. So I had this one-on-one with my last manager where she asked me, how's it going? That question. And I actually did the thing that we've been talking here several times about what makes a bad one-on-one, where I kind of sighed and I said nothing. And we had a pretty close relationship where she didn't just go, cool, then we're done. She labeled that incorrectly, maybe, as you sound like you're exhausted. And I said, no, okay, I'm going to tell you what's going on. I basically vented because I was just having a week. Several really good things that she did there. She opened her notebook and she wrote down these things that were new to her that I hadn't really been talking. I was at my going through this like possible burnout. So she wrote these things down and she followed up on every one of these things in successive meetings. But that's not even the most memorable part of this meeting. She asked me whether the things I was doing, was I working on any side projects? Was I working on any like other development goals around connecting my job? And I was talking about how, oh, I'm working on the CFP for this talk I want to give at this conference. And it's just really just stressing me out. And she said, is this something you actually want to do? And I was like, what? She's like, is this something you actually want to do? Do you want to give a talk? Is this, why are you giving a talk? And I just looked at her and I couldn't come up with a good reason why I wanted to give this talk. And I said, you're right. I don't want to do this. And then I just didn't. I just stopped working on it. And no one had ever before asked me why I was trying to do something. A different manager may have just been like, cool, sounds great. You're going to do it. You're going to rock it. And she said, do you actually want to do this? And it was just so jarring to me. And this was probably like 3 years ago. And I still think about it. It's good times. That's me.
I just want to say, in my experience, I think I had a few memorable one-on-ones, but I think the two categories of one-on-ones that most fulfill me in some way are the ones that I end up being inspired by the person, or the ones that I really stress out. And at the end of the one-on-one, I feel that we have a plan of attack. We have a direction where we want to go. And I had both experienced multiple times with different managers where I would be super stressed. I would bring up topics. It would decompose the problem. Okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And we would end the one-on-one as if, okay, that problem is not as big as I believe it was. It's actually really clear and we're all on the same page and we know what we're going to do. And other one-on-ones where like, oh, this project doesn't seem going well. And I finally understood the reason. I finally understood what was after that. And I think those are the two categories that really like stuck with me.
I think the one-on-ones that stuck out the most for me was when I made this deep human connection with the other person. And I felt like they have my back, I have their back. And it doesn't really matter that we got all this shit going on and everything's going south. We've got each other's backs. And at the end of the day, whether we can fix that problem or not, I trust that they're going to do the very best possible job. They trust I'm going to do my end of the bargain. To me, that connection is worth so much more than anything else, basically. And so when I could leave the one-on-one feeling like we're really connected and we know we're dealing with something really tough, but no matter what, we're both going to do the right thing. So then whatever happens.
Perfect. Those were some awesome experiences. Thank you, everyone, for sharing. So I think that wraps it up for today. So to end it off, Sheryl Sandberg has a big poster in her office that says, done is better than perfect. So if you guys aren't doing your one-on-ones, I strongly suggest you go and get started. They don't have to be perfect and they won't be perfect when you start, but you will work your way through them. So I think that's it for today. We will see you in our next podcast. Till then, take care, stay safe, and thank you, everyone.